Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I want you to go with me to Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 5. Let's run over to Matthew chapter 5 to look at a scripture there. I always like to build line upon line when we're studying the Word of God to understand if you find it in the first covenant, in, I hate to call it the Old Testament, because really anything that God's ever given us, it never gets old. Every time I read through the first covenant, I am always learning and growing in God. But Jesus said something about that first covenant and the law. He said, I did not come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. So we see this in Jeremiah, but now we're in Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at verse, I believe it's verse 15, 16. Verse 16, 5, 16. Well, let's just start with 15. I like it. No, let's start with 14. Let's start with 13. Actually, let's start with 11. Because I want you to get the context. Anytime you're reading the Word of God, make sure you look at the context so you don't pull it out of its intended message. All right, so God blesses you, verse 11, Matthew 5. God blesses you when you're wealthy. Well, that would be the blessing of the Lord. I wouldn't refuse that, right? But God blesses you when, if you were writing this, you may have thrown in, even if you're mocked, right? You'd say, because none of us want to be mocked all the time, right? However, this is saying God blesses you when you're mocked and you're persecuted, you're lied about, because you're my followers. Be happy about it. Rejoice. Be very glad. For a great reward awaits you in heaven, and remember the ancient prophets were persecuted too. Verse 13. You need to look at somebody and say, get salty. Get salty. This is one area where you can have all the salt you want and it will not impact your blood pressure. Get salty. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. What if the church isn't the salt of the earth? Who would the salt of the earth be? God could have sent angels, but he didn't. He sent you. He sent me. So when we talk about God in government, we say, you know, we don't need the righteous in government giving direction. Are you serious? We need righteousness in government. The salt must be in the midst of the darkness and in the world. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Now verse 14. Turn your lights on. Tell somebody, turn your lights on. Every one of them. Now you all are, some of you are from a different generation than the one I grew up in. You walk out of room, you better turn the light out. That was Dad. And my son has been trying to educate me ever since he was a little guy. Dad, it takes more power to turn the light back on for it to start up, and then he goes through the whole thing. But in my house, the light went out when you stepped out of the room. I wonder if the church should look at this and realize that maybe we carried that into the church and said when we're in the building with the saints, we'll have all the lights on and we'll be salty. But when we step out through the door, we will no longer be salty. At least we don't want to be obnoxious or stir something up. And we won't have all the lights on. I believe the opposite is the case. That God would say to us, be salty and turn all the lights on in the church. And go out into the darkness and permeate it with the transforming power of God through the Holy Spirit. That's my job. That's your job. It's our job. So you are the light of the world. It doesn't say you might be, you might become. If Christ is in the church, then we are salty and we are the light of the world. It's not like you get to decide unless you decide to hinder Jesus from being Lord through your life. Now let me just ask you, if Jesus is Lord of your life, is it not reasonable that you would let him be Lord through your life as well? We're talking about God and country and the importance of a black, dark world and being encountered with the salt and the light of God. You are the light of the world. I know Jesus said he was the light of the world initially. And every year we light the candles at Christmas. And we always go to the scripture where we start out, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And then he said, you are the light of the world. He went back to glory and he left us with his light, right? You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain. Amen. All right, cities, rise up. Rise up in Jesus' name. You're the light of the world, like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night for all to see. Look at this, verse 15. Is that an admonition? Don't hide your light. Would you all tell me that? Tell me not to hide my light. Let me tell you, don't hide your light. Don't hide your light. Wow. Dick and Robin, fresh story. Sunny, right? How long had you prayed for sunny? Years. Prayed for sunny for years, years. And your light had been shining. You had been communicating. He was not receiving the light, but he couldn't stop the light from shining through your lives. And then on that day, the Holy Spirit says, now's the time, make the call. He didn't take the call, but uncharacteristically, he called you back. And Robin, you had something to do with that. Let's ask him. Let's talk to him. Are you ready? This is a man that's close to death. And because the light had been reaching out, reaching out, reaching out, reaching out. Isn't that mercy where God brings the thief on the cross, brings him into glory, and brings a sunny in the last hours, literally the last hours of his life? Don't hide your light. You all did not have to share 20 years of a witness because you'd already done that. And I know if you have some family members like I have, they don't want to hear, maybe. But they can't shut the light out. And they can't keep the Holy Spirit from touching their heart. And when you pray for them, God's working on the inside. God reminds me, I'm so frustrated with pastors, which I am one. Trying to get pastors to answer the phone. I am one. I understand. Busy. I understand. Trying to get pastors to agree on working together. It's frustrating. It's tiring. I was frustrated. The Holy Spirit spoke so clearly to me. And now he spoke that several times to me. He said, you tell, I sell. You tell, I'll sell. I'm not responsible for the selling part. Doesn't mean you don't set the hook. Have you ever been fishing? Comes a moment you need to jerk on that thing. Ask John Johnson about my fishing on Lake Okeechobee. I don't know. I know nothing about fishing fresh water. Josh is a professional back there fishing fresh water. But I'm out work. He wanted me to go fishing on Lake Okeechobee. All I know is when the fish bites, that fish came out of the water, flew right past me, flew right past John's head. And he was thanking God that it didn't whack him in the head. I'm not saying, God's not saying to not invite people, compel people, because the Word of God actually says to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. And so we do that, but we cannot talk anybody into coming into the kingdom. The Holy Spirit has to prepare them. And so thank God that that works on your job, in your neighborhood, at the gas station where you go. So don't hide your light. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand. Let it shine for all in the same way. In the same way. What same way? Same as your light's to shine and your salt is to be salty. In the same way, let your, what kind of deeds? Good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to fulfill them. Let your good deeds shine, be visible. We don't need to belabor that, do we? We know what that is. We know what the Good Samaritan story is all about, don't we? How do you know what good is? What does God mean when he says, let your good deeds shine? Wherever there's a need, if God has planted you there and you are able to respond, in some way, in a good way, then that's where God wants the light to shine, wherever that might be. And God gives us countless opportunities every day to see that happen. This is important, your good deeds. Those who serve as a carpenter. Any carpenters? Anybody here ever work a construction site? Any kind of construction site? Anybody? Oh, Joe has. Oh, Ruddy has. Yeah, a few of you have construction sites. Have you noticed they don't care about clean language? I mean, just they really don't care. At least people I've worked with. And you may say, man, I hate this job because everybody on this job is so stinking worldly and wicked and their mouth is filthy and their jokes are sick and I hate this job. Your light is shining. Your light is shining. That's what's going on. So there's another scripture I'd like to take you to, and it's in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go there, verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. I love that. The English is poor, but I still say it. God don't make no junk. You're not here by accident. You were not accidentally conceived. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do what kind of things? Good things. Good things. And when did God put his plan together? Long ago. Long ago. I kind of like that because it reminds me that God isn't winging it. He's not saying, man, what am I going to do with Jonathan today? I'll pick on Marcy. What am I going to do with Marcy today? God's not like, oh, man, when's Robin going to get it? I only pick on people I know really well. I was going to pick on Luke, but he's not here. So I can't, huh? He had to go to work. See, I should have picked on him earlier. I was going to pick on him. Right, I was going to pick on him. So instead, I'll pick on Nathaniel. So we'll pick on you. Aren't you glad God's not winging it, trying to figure out how is this going to work? No. You are God's masterpiece. That means you are personally created by the designer. It wasn't just Adam and Eve that were made by the hand of God. You're made by the hand of God. That's why all life matters. All life's matter. Yeah, it's a great verse. It's a masterpiece. Created to do good works. Good works. All right. Well, I want to take you to another perspective. Let's go to Daniel. Let's go to Daniel. In Daniel, we see young men that are part of the Babylonian captivity, but we see them being attacked for their faith, right? So when you start in the book, and we're not going to read the whole book of Daniel, obviously, but you're going to see that Daniel purposes in his heart that he's not going to accept whatever's given to him. He's not going to be silent in a dark place. He's in a government place, and he's been brought in because he's a young man. So he's there as a young man, and he has this opportunity to honor God with his diet and with his life and his lifestyle, or he could just be quiet and say, I want to save my skin. So he could have been quiet, but he wasn't, and God gave him wisdom. And so we're not going to read all of that, but God gave him favor. They were put on, we talk about the Daniel's diet. It wasn't really his diet, it was the way he ate all the time, you know. So back many years ago, we were doing the Daniel's diet. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, we're doing the Daniel's diet for 40 days, sort of. We always did sort of. And then I realized, no, Daniel just ate this way. He ate healthy all the time, right? But he took a stand. As a young man, he's taken a stand. And we know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do as well. And then when we look at God, as God begins to work with the king, and gives him a dream. And the king wants to know what the dream is. He wants his wise men to give him the report, tell him the dream. And, of course, none of them could do that. They said only the gods could do something like that. Well, no, the God can do that. And so when you're in chapter 2 and you look at verse 20 where Daniel praises God for the gifts that God has given him and for the operative work of God through his life, to have an impact in that dark place where he is. And it's a political place. God opened the door for Daniel to have influence and impact in a political position. And so Daniel praises God. Praise the name of God forever and ever. For He alone has all wisdom, power, and power. He determines the course of the world, events. He understood Romans 13. Long before Romans 13. Look at it right here. Verse 21. He determines the course of world events. He removes kings and sets others on the throne. Daniel understood that by the Holy Spirit. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though He Himself is surrounded by light. I thank and praise You, God of my ancestors, for You have given me wisdom. Do you have wisdom? Do you have wisdom? The other evening, Andrew was talking about some of the opportunities, Andrew, and you were giving God glory for the wisdom He's given you. That's appropriate. That's what Daniel did. The gifts that I have, these are gifts from God. You've given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what we ask You and revealed to us what the king demanded. God's going to work on this king. I believe God's working on our president. I believe God has a plan to accomplish His will and His purpose. And I don't know about you, but I'm praying for another great awakening for our nation. I'm praying for a great revival in our nation and the nations of the earth. And I just believe that it's appropriate to say there was a former rain, we call it Pentecost, but there's going to be a latter rain, and the latter rain is going to be a great ingathering. I don't believe God's finished with us yet. And so I'm full of hope, not fear. Amen? So God had a plan to work on this king. Why would God not have a plan to work on our president? God had a plan to put somebody godly in contact that would end up having influence over the king of Babylon. And why would God not put you and me in places where we have influence and impact and opportunity to influence leaders in every capacity for the glory of God? Back to the light and the salt. Remember that. If the light is not on, it's because the church is silent. If the salt is not working, it's because it stayed in the shaker too long. So the salt has to get out of the shaker to get into the world. And the light has to penetrate in the darkness. It has to be turned on. We used to sing, this little... I know you're too grown up to sing kids' songs, right? Because y'all look so mature. I'm glad we sang that song. God's looking for our light to shine. Light to shine. We used to do that. Don't let Satan it out. Amen? So as we move on, we look at King Nebuchadnezzar. I jotted, even in my devotional Bible, I jotted that in order for Daniel to accomplish the mission God sent him on, it required prayer. He was a man of prayer. He prayed regardless. The enemy wanted to shut his prayer life down. He prayed. It required obedience. It required excellence. It required diligence on his part. Daniel could not just show up 5 minutes late to work. And in the body of Christ, we need to restore diligence and we need to restore accountability before God. I'm in this place because God put me here on assignment. I'm on assignment. Look over your life. Every place you've been, you were on assignment there in the kingdom. You're on assignment. Read Acts 17. Acts 17 talks about your very address, the length of your days, where you live. All of that is a part of God's plan. Why? Read Acts 17. So that others can find Christ. This is the plan. Let me ask you, is there anything higher, any higher plan to give your life to? I'm so glad, David, you're on the way off to college. God's got a call on your life. You know, back in the day, I knew Bible colleges that trained people to be pastors and didn't have too many other degrees. It was all about that. In India, we were in India, and they had a school for ministers, and you could not even go to the school unless you were sponsored by a pastor who had a community that didn't have even one witness in that community. And the pastor knew you and was sponsoring you. And then you could go into Bible college and you could prepare for the ministry, and as soon as you graduated, you were going to that village to minister. I remember asking, what's it cost to support a pastor in one of these villages that's going in to establish a work? And back at that time, it was $30 a month. $30 a month. $30 a month. Well, you know, an Indian pastor doesn't have to put gas in his car, obviously, because I can't fill my car up for $30. So we're in a different culture. I was impacted by that. And in Nigeria, talking with a pastor, thousands of people would come to some of these gatherings. I said, Pastor, what does it cost to put on an outreach like this? We would go into, called it the bush country. We're in a place where there was not a church, not a church, not dozens of churches, not a church. What does it cost to do this? And the pastor said, it cost about $300. He said, what does $300 do? Well, $300 is going to buy a study Bible for everyone who comes to Christ. We want them to become students of the Word of God. What else will the $300 buy? Well, it's going to provide them with the tools to go through training, because we want all of them to be equipped as evangelists and ministers to share the gospel. And he went through the whole thing. It'll cover the cost of promotion. It'll cover the cost of travel. It'll cover the cost of everything for $300. I remember coming back home thinking, Father, how can this be that so many can be reached with so little? And this was just a few years ago. And I remember sort of stumbling over that for a bit. And I had a brother in the church. He's now with the Lord, Tony. And Tony lived in a huge house in a great neighborhood right here in town. And one day Tony said, I'm going to sell my house. I'm like, why are you going to sell your house? You got a beautiful house. And you have ministry to all these people that live in your neighborhood. Why are you going to sell your house? He said, I'm going to sell my house because I want to get maybe a larger house, because I want to be able to reach more people for Christ. I said, but Tony, who's going to reach these people over here on the water where you're living? He said, oh, they already know me. What he was saying was, my light has gone forth. Christ has already ministered through me to my whole neighborhood. I want to get into another neighborhood so I can bring light to an area of darkness. And I thought, wow. And some of you remember the happy hours, right? Nick and Robin and Rachel, a bunch of you remember the happy hours. We would go there and people would drive from Lauderdale and they would drive from north. I don't know where all these people came from. But it was all about here ministering. We need to minister overseas, but we need to minister here as well. And so here we see King Nebuchadnezzar. God has a plan to reach this guy totally. And God gives the interpretation, the dreams. The king begins to say things like this, truly, verse 47 in chapter 2, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord over kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this secret. But then as you look into this, you see we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they refuse to bend their knee. I love what they said. They just tell the king that our God is able to rescue us from your power. You know, the king says, what God's able to rescue you from my power? This is in chapter 3, down in verse 15. What God will be able to rescue you? And they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. We are thrown into the blazing furnace. These are leaders in high position, government positions, who are refusing to bow their knee. They could have lost their life. Obviously, the king is angry. They said, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. Now, we need to get that right, because that's level one. God is able to heal you of everything. God is able to provide for you for everything. God is able. God is able. We used to sing that. God is able to deliver thee. Whatever the case, whatever the situation. And so they had resolved something in their heart that regardless of what God did, they knew what they were going to do. We are not going to deny our God. And that's the way I stand in regards to my son. I know God is the healer. I know that my Andrew will be healed. I know what God has done in my life. I don't know when, where, how, why. I don't know all. Well, I do know the why, because God is God. I don't know all the other details. But I know this, what my God is able to do, and that God is faithful to his word. That's what I know. They basically said that. And they said, he will rescue us from your power. We know he can deliver us from your fire, but even if he doesn't, he's going to rescue us from you and from your power. Well, what's the rest of that story? God's knocking on Nebuchadnezzar's heart. If there was not a righteous person in the kingdom close to Nebuchadnezzar, he would not have had this opportunity to have a firsthand message being delivered to him. Verse 28, chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar, he sees into the fire. He's seen that there is a fourth one walking in the fire. And then he says, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now we have this heathen king praising God because of godly influence in the government with him. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make this decree, if any people, whatever the race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb. Their houses will be crushed into heaps of rubble. And then he says, there is no other God who can rescue like this. We could go through the whole book of Daniel. We see this time and again, how God shows up. God shows up. What was God looking to do with Nebuchadnezzar? Looking to see him give glory to God. When you get to this part where Nebuchadnezzar ends up going out and he's eating grass because he's so proud, he takes credit for everything. I do pray for our president that he learns to consistently give God glory for everything God does. It's a dangerous place to take credit.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, Lord, a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise.
Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. for the Baptist Bible Hour right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.
Greetings. We invite you to join the Word of Truth International Ministry with Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope every Saturday at 8 a.m. as we break the bread of life and teach the Word of God right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought of it.